Father, we come before you here today. We humbly come before you here today, and we are so honored to lift up your name, Jesus. We are honored, Lord, to see your reflection in Mike's life and all that he did. And we want to honor Mike's life, but mostly we want to honor you, Jesus, through his life. We ask you for comfort for Mike's family. We ask for comfort for our fellowship here. And we just want to lift you up, Jesus. You are so precious to us. And I pray that your name would be magnified and glorified here today. Amen. Isaiah 55 reads this: Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall never be cut off. Psalm 32 reads this: Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. Else they will come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalm 103 says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. This song, sang it on the streets of gold. Mike liked this song, and it reminds us of Mike. And
where did all the time go? It's like a speeding train. Reflections in the mirror. it don't look the same. Thought about my sinful past and how I used to be. If it wasn't for my Jesus, I'd be a memory. I need Jesus to forgive me. He's a savior of my soul. And when I get to heaven, I'll walk the streets of gold. I'm so thankful for my savior, how he changed my sinful heart. In my Father's house, there's a place just for me, where I'll be praising Jesus for all eternity. In my Father's house, I'll be there with the Savior on the streets of gold. How I long to be with Jesus. I know heaven is my home. It's a place of many mansions with streets made of gold. There will be no more corruption. Nothing there will get old. I'll be there with the Savior, singing on the streets of gold. How I long to be with Jesus. I know heaven is my home. It's a place of many mansions with streets made of gold. There will be no more corruption. Nothing there will get old. I'll be there with the Savior, singing on the streets of gold. I'll be there with my Savior, singing on the streets of gold.
Amen. A eulogy is a speech in praise of a person who has recently died. The derivation of the word eulogy comes from Greek, where eu stands for true and logia stands for words. True words. True words. Mike Walsh was the embodiment of the word eulogy, for he spent the most significant portion of his life sharing true words. The information I'm going to share about Mike Walsh is the product of sharing of many people, the majority of which are part of Mike's church family, Calvary Church of Port Orchard. Although the information certainly has a ring of praise, I prefer that the information really is that of terms of endearment. Mike Walsh was born on August 5th, 1960. He was reborn in the 1990s. Between those dates, what transpired is what contributed to the man that Mike Walsh became. He was raised in California, attending Ladera Vista Junior High School, graduating from Troy High School in Fullerton, California in 1979. Mike was blessed with many gifts. He had a strong work ethic. He He had the stubbornness of a bull, and he had the strength to match it. He lived his early life on the edge, became a skilled motorcycle rider. His physical strength held him in good stead. He even became an arm wrestling champion, and at one point was just one pull-up short from setting a one-arm record. Just his strength opened up various doors of opportunity for work, his stubbornness could and would be his undoing. He was unafraid to tackle any task. That lack of fear led him to sustaining multiple injuries. His body demonstrated the unique ability to rapidly heal from most injuries. A marvel seen by coworkers and friends in his early life. But there was one incident at age 17 when he fell down a dry well and broke his back. Because of his youth and stubbornness, he neglected to seek proper care for that injury, and it later became a hindrance, his undoing. His physical prowess was also balanced with a gentle side. He had a sense of humor and a smile that could break down almost any barrier. And he was an accomplished artist. He used his free time to draw and create new things. He was talented enough to do almost anything he put his mind to, whether it be artistic or mechanical. Later in his life, he developed the ability to share his thoughts in writing, thoughts that touched many people through the medium of the internet. Mike's first commercial application of his artistic talents was in the form of painting cars as a business out of his garage while taking care of his dad. He honed that skill by expanding his business to pinstriping motorcycles. He even helped prepare the police cars for the movie Police Academy in 1984. He also provided security work for that movie. All this when he was only 24 years old. He went on to become a well-known chainsaw carver and sketch artist. 1984 not only proved an early recognition of his artistic skills, it saw him marry Dawn, and Mike's daughter Nicole was born in 1985. Mike and Dawn later separated. Mike remained in contact with Nicole. They often spoke on the telephone. When Mike talked to me about Nicole, it was clear that he loved her very much. I mentioned to Mike about his propensity for wanting to live on the edge. I learned that he loved being on the water. He had a Sea-Doo, and he used that to fly across the water. He participated in cliff diving, and he delighted in seeking out the scariest, tallest roller coaster that he could find. I can just visualize Mike seeking out the front seat on the first car of a roller coaster, holding his arms up in the air, waiting to cascade down that first giant ride. Unfortunately, there came a time of his life where it became like a crazy roller coaster. He fell into the companionship of those who were living a life in pursuit of pleasure, which led him into drugs and crime. As a result, Mike spent several years in and out of prison in California. During his final stint in prison in the mid-1990s, Mike listened to a small voice of the Lord telling him to talk to Ron and Eric, the only two sincere Christians that were in his prison area. They shared with Mike the love of God and encouraged him to repent of his rebellion against God, and to receive forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Mike got on his knees and did so that day. From then on, Mike knew something had changed in his heart, and he became motivated to read God's word and started serving Jesus instead of the lusts of the world. Upon his release from prison, he started attending a church in the area and became good friends with Pastor Bill Katz. In the late 1990s, he started working at another auto body business, as well as that of starting to buy cars from auctions, restore them, and resell them. In 2003, he moved with his mother and two dogs from California to Washington, where they purchased property with three houses on several acres on the Key Peninsula. Around 2005, Pastor Bill Katz and his family moved to the property and then helped Mike transform the property into Blue Willow Lavender Farm. In 2006, Mike started attending this church, where he became loved and appreciated for his zeal to share the love of Jesus and the prophetic word of God with any and all who would listen, and some would even say, to those who wouldn't listen. He showed no fear in sharing the word of God. Mike worked selling his chainsaw art and then was hired by Triton Marine Construction Company, where his talents for figuring out how to make things work were put to good use. Driven by the love of Jesus, he sought to share that love with the employees of Triton office. His deep desire was that all his fellow workers, who he always loved and cared for, would also fall in love with the Savior and join him in everlasting life. Mike also wanted to share his life with whoever the Lord would bring his way as a wife. Mike and Valerie knew each other in high school, but did not hang out because Valerie didn't want to be with Wild Mike. Years passed, and they reconnected somewhere around 1995, 1996, where they both attended Canyon Hills Church. Mike remembered Valerie, but she did not at first remember him. One time, Valerie and her kids met Mike at a lake, and they ended up riding on his Sea-Doo. After that, they lost touch for a few years. Valerie didn't know that Mike had moved to Washington. They were both on a site called classmates.com, and Mike recognized Valerie's picture. He emailed her, she responded, and they continued to exchange emails for the next couple of years. In 2011, Mike sent Valerie an email telling her he was coming for a visit to California and asked if they could meet up for dinner. Valerie related to me that she wasn't much into dating. Her focus was on the well-being of her children. Despite her reluctance, they ended up spending the day at Knott's Berry Farm. Mike was going to head back to Washington in 2 weeks, and Valerie figured that was it. Instead, they ended up spending the majority of his visit together. Mike went home and started running up phone bill calling Valerie. 2 weeks later, he came back down for another visit and kept doing so whenever he could. In September, they were engaged, and in December of 2011, they were married. Valerie wasn't quick to join him, however, in Washington, for her roots were deep in California. But she soon did relent and came to Washington in June of 2012 and quickly became involved in his business endeavors, but also that in the care of Mike's mom until she passed. They did almost everything together. One of Mike's favorite things was going out to dinner and dessert, where he seldom passed up an opportunity to tell the waiter or the waitress about Jesus and the need for them to believe in him as their Savior before it was too late. About 2 years ago, they sold the farm, bought a large fifth wheel, and moved here on the church property, where they became caretakers. there was nothing Mike couldn't do in taking care of the various needs of the church. He was filled with the joy of knowing a Savior and would always leave the office staff with a spiritual encouragement when he would drop in for welcome fellowship together. Indulge me for a moment. Personal reflection. I loved Mike Walsh. And I told him so often. He wasn't the easiest man to hug. Especially when he was holding Kelly all the time. But I hugged him and he hugged me. Every time we met. And I told him every time that we hugged and every time that we met that I loved him and he loved me. I knew that he meant it and I meant it. Who was Mike Walsh? He was a loving husband. And that was clear to me every time I was with them together. The Saturday before he died, he and Valerie brought me lunch, and we shared time together. When he would look at Valerie, it was as if he were looking at a treasure of unspeakable value. He was a loving father. When he spoke of Nicole, it was clear that he loved her and wanted only the best for her. When he talked about Mike and Christine and Stephanie and their children, he beamed as if he was a man with a full quiver. He was a loving friend who was willing to pay more than lip service to the needs of his friends. If you needed help, he was there. And there didn't seem to be anything he could fix except for perhaps a broken heart. He was a man of integrity. His co-workers witnessed a man who gave daily 100% to his employer. He never attempted to drag out a job. Instead, he would drag his co-workers along with him and his zest, his zeal, to give his best every day, something to emulate. He was a man without guile. He was a Nathaniel. He knew the value of truth and the power of truth, for it was in his knowledge of the truth that he was set free from his life of sin and wished only the same for those he came in contact with. He was an encourager, a Barnabas. People who spent any time with Mike came away feeling better about themselves, because of the encouragement he would give them, sometimes with words, sometimes with action. He was a believer in the immediacy of prayer. If during conversation with him, he felt you needed, or if you expressed a need for prayer, he wouldn't say, as many well-intentioned Christians would say, "I will pray for you." Instead, Mike would immediately pray for you. He was like Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, whose real name was John Chapman, was an American pioneer nurseryman who introduced apple trees in the early 1800s to large parts of this country, the known country at that time, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, West Virginia, and even Ontario. John Chapman was also a missionary for a church known as the New Church. And just as Johnny Appleseed sowed seeds of apples, Mike sowed the seeds of redemptive love of Jesus Christ. Over the next, over eternity, Mike is going to be able to celebrate the fruition of those seeds he planted at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Mike was sold out to Christ. He became crucified with Christ. Yet he lived. And the life he lived was to be a vessel filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. He ran the good race. He fought the good fight. And now he's reaping the rewards of a life lived to share and celebrate the love of Christ. Many in the church knew Mike as the guy with the dog because Kelly was always with him in the foyer during the service. Kelly loved Mike so much that she would bark incessantly whenever Mike was away from the fifth wheel without her. Mike would often say he felt the same way that Kelly did, for in his way, he would bark. Because he wasn't face to face with Jesus. Just as Kelly longed to be with and in the presence of Mike when Mike was absent, Mike longed to be in the presence of Jesus. Mike is no longer barking, for he is now in the loving arms of his Lord and Savior. Mike's one great desire for each of you present at this memorial is that you would embrace the same love he came to know that day in prison when he dropped to his knees, repented of his sins, and fell deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Very, very beautiful eulogy. It's going to be interesting because, and it actually gives me great comfort because everything that the doctor just said here is a lot of what I'm going to talk about. And so, and just so everybody knows, we didn't have a conversation before this either. And so that just gives me comfort to know that what Mike emulated in his life was the same to everybody. Amen? So again, thank you, Doctor, for that eulogy. That was beautiful. Otherwise, we're going to have a photo tribute, and then I'll come up and give a message. Grace that taught. My goal here is to reflect Jesus Christ and his gospel message through the life of Mike. Mike was a husband, a father, a grandfather, a family man. He was a dear brother and friend to our fellowship. Mike was an outstanding artist and craftsman. Those of you that knew Mike for any amount of time knew that. Just outstanding. The things that this man could do blow your mind. He was extremely confident and skilled in really anything that he ever did. Mike was a man who could work circles around most other men. All you guys from Triton probably know that. Those of us that worked with him here on the church property and other places, we knew that too. He was a broken body, hands that hurt, but he could just work circles around anybody. And you could count on Mike for nearly anything. You could just count on him. Very dependable man. Mike touched the lives of many people in his 61 years here on this ball of dirt. And I use that term because that's what Mike would have called it. Just a ball of dirt. Because he knew where his true home was. He touched the lives of so many people, but most importantly, he touched them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I've been meditating on Mike, there's really four character traits that really come to life and shine brightly. Many of which you've touched on already, Doctor. Prayer. Mike was a man full of prayer. His loyalty to his family, his fellowship, the body of Christ. Mike was fanatical for the gospel. In every sense of the word. Absolutely fanatical. And Mike had an earnest desire to know and understand prophecy. And this prophecy is only given in God's holy word. Please understand that, everybody. That is the only true prophecy. Let's talk about Mike's attitude for prayer real quick. 1 Chronicles 16 says this, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." Ephesians 6 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints," including Mike. A great quality of Mike's was that he would pray immediately. Immediately he would pray. No matter the issue. If it was a major issue, he was praying to Jesus about it. If you stubbed a toe, he was praying to Jesus about it. He always took everything to Jesus in prayer. And the thing that set him apart from most people is he did it immediate. I don't care where he was standing. I don't care who was around. I don't care who it was with. He just stopped whatever he was doing and prayed to Jesus. It would surprise you. Because sometimes you would just want to talk to him a little bit. And you'd give him one of your woes. And you're just thinking you're going to have a conversation. And next thing you know, Mike's praying about it. That's what he's doing. So this really does show you in a very real way the way that he viewed Jesus. The way that his relationship was with Jesus. Jesus was his friend. Jesus was his king. And Jesus was his Lord. And he had no problem praying to him in that way. Mike knew that he had full access to God. Let this be a godly example to every single one of us. I pray that through Mike's life, through his example, that I could learn to pray just like he did. Let's talk about Mike's loyalty to his family, to this fellowship, and to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Ephesians 4 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Mike displayed a genuine love and concern for his beautiful wife, Valerie. He displayed a genuine love and concern for you, Nicole. And he displayed a genuine love and concern for Valerie's children. Valerie, you are a great example. Oh boy, here we go. You're a great example of a woman who is submitted to God's design for marriage and family. A great example of a woman standing by her husband and his godly ambitions. You're a loyal wife, and it doesn't go unnoticed. Mike loved you deeply, Valerie. Nicole, it's important that you know and understand that your dad loved you with all of his heart. He spoke about you often and always displayed a deep and genuine concern and love for you. You were always on his lips. Always. Mike and Stephanie and Christina, Mike spoke about you as well and really did consider you his children. He spoke about his grandchildren all the time. Rough and tough Mike. He did speak about you in a very genuine way, all of you. As you guys already know, Mike was very hardworking. Like I already said, broken hands, broken body, that just didn't quite work anymore. He just hurt, and he hurt all the time. Mike was skilled in everything he did. Out in the foyer, if you didn't already know, you'll see a lot of his chainsaw carvings on display. When you walk out of the church into the covered area, as you're walking out, the birdhouse that's on the left, that's Mike's. When we had our birdhouse contest, of course, Mike came in first place. And then all of you who are geeks like me, just nerds, go down here in this grate where there's a drain down here, and Mike welded that together. And he came in and showed me this thing. And I said, I could not believe the beads that were on this weld job. Anyone who knows welding knows that this is a true art form. And they were perfect. Just perfect. If Mike lived in the days of the construction of the temple, or in Solomon's day when the temple was being built, you know that the Lord would have used him as one of his featured craftsmen. He's just amazing, you guys. You could rely on Mike, and we did. We relied on him for a lot. Anything he did, you didn't have to worry about it. You knew that it was going to be done the right way. No micromanaging, no asking questions. You just asked him to do something, and you knew it would be done perfectly. And he had a very unique skill of perfectionism running through his DNA, but at the same time was a very practical man. Nothing was over-engineered. It was practical. But yet, it was perfect. You don't find too many guys like that. Mike was very particular in all of his ways. And this is a great example of his character, which was devoted to Jesus. Let this be a godly example to all of us. Mike was absolutely sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know that I've met a man, because I've never met John the Baptist or Paul the Apostle. I don't know that I've ever met a man who has been more sold out for the gospel of Jesus. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Later on, Jesus, speaking to Martha, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Mike's boldness for the gospel is definitely something that stood out and shined brightly. Have you ever met a man more bold in the gospel? In fact, it was like a dagger at times. This, I believe, is Mike's premier character trait and something that we can all strive to be more like. Let that be an example to all of us. Let it exhort us. Mike didn't mince any words. In fact, he used few words. It was his style. It was his way. Jesus used Mike. Mike was abrupt and to the point. He was not shy. Mike drove home the point of the gospel at breakneck speed. He could give you that gospel in about 5 words. And again, it would be like a dagger going through your heart. We can say that Mike did not beat around the bush. It's fair to say that. This is something that Mike was never guilty of. Whenever Mike and I would go get coffee, guess what? The coffee barista heard the gospel. Whenever Mike and I would go get dinner or a bite to eat, the waitress heard the gospel. If we were at a business together, for whatever reason that may be, the receptionist heard the gospel. Mike shared the gospel with everybody. It's quite amazing to listen to him share Jesus with others. Dr. Johnson, you spoke earlier in his eulogy about the roller coaster ride. Well, sometimes when Mike was giving the gospel and sharing the gospel with someone, you know that mousetrap ride in the amusement park? The one where you're going, taking turns at 90 degree angles about 30 miles an hour. That's what the gospel was like sometimes when Mike was sharing. Again, Mike was sold out for the gospel, you guys. Absolutely sold out. Let this be a godly example to all of us. And the last thing here, one of Mike's great character traits, was his earnest desire to know and understand prophecy. Prophecy, which is given to us in God's holy word. 2 Peter 1 says this, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Mike told me that ever since he got out of prison, the Lord gave him a great desire to know and understand biblical prophecy. There's no doubt in my mind that that's why the Lord drew Mike to our fellowship all those years ago. And this is because our fellowship takes the study of eschatology very seriously. And this is where Mike thrived. This is where Mike thrived. In a nutshell, the Bible teaches us that not long before Jesus comes back to take his church, we'll be raptured, and Jesus will then judge the earth. On a global scale, the world will go mad. On a global scale, the world will call evil good and good evil. On a global scale, sexual immorality will go berserk and go insane. On a global scale, the practices of darkness will become more normalized and commonplace. Narcissism, self-centeredness, and a falling away from all that is holy will become globally prevalent. Mike understood all of this very well. He understood it very, very well. And it's my prayer, and I know it's Mike's desire, that all of you would understand this very well also. If there are any of you here that thought when Mike shared Jesus with you, it was a bit intense, this is why. Because Mike fully, fully believed that Jesus is imminent, that he is coming back to take his church home. And those that are not with him, those who have not bowed the knee, those who have not repented and put their full faith and trust in Jesus will be left behind. That's why Mike was so intense with his gospel message. There isn't much time left. This is what Mike would tell you, and this is what I'm telling you. If I didn't share this with you, I would be remiss in honoring Mike, because this is exactly what he would want me to tell you at his memorial. There are two great men in the Bible that really remind me of Mike. That is Paul the Apostle and John the Baptist. Both men were unashamed of the gospel. Both men proclaimed the name of Jesus in a very serious way. Both men were strict and bold in the message of the gospel. Both men were completely sold out for the gospel. This is how Mike lived the last 30 plus years of his life, sold out for Jesus. Let this be a godly example to all of us. I know Mike had an impact on everyone here. If he didn't, you wouldn't be here. If you're here and you've already placed your eternal hope and trust in Jesus, then I pray Mike's example edifies and exhorts you to a higher calling in your walk with the Lord. I do. Let that exhort you into a higher calling with your walk in the Lord. If you are here and you don't know Jesus, then I pray you would be convinced of the gospel message that I know Mike shared with you. That you would repent and place your eternity in the only one that can save you, Jesus himself. And if you would like to talk more about that after this service, I'm here for you, just as Mike would have been. Father, we thank you for Mike's life. We thank you for his beautiful example that you've given us. Father, I pray that we would all look at Mike, remember Mike, meditate on Mike, and the way that he behaved, in the way that he exemplified you, Jesus, in all that he did. Such a beautiful man, a beautiful husband, a beautiful father, a beautiful grandpa, a beautiful brother, and a beautiful friend. We will all miss you, Mike, but those of us who know Jesus, we will see you soon. And those of us that don't, I pray that they would bow the knee. And we say this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Imagine what my eyes will see when
I'll be able to speak it all. I can only find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only glory, what will my heart feel? Dance for you, Jesus. For in all you be still, will I stand in your presence? But to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? I'll be able to speak. Oh, I can only imagine. Forever worship you. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul in glory turned to Calvary. There your mercy and your grace were free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. Gladly on Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. There your mercy and your grace are free. There your pardon multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. That drew salvation's path, or the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary.
Let's sing that again.
Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Yeah, your mercy and your grace are free. Yeah, your pardon multiplied to me. Yeah, my burden so found in liberty, Calvary. Yeah, your mercy and your grace are free. Yeah, your pardon multiplied to me. Yeah, my burden so found in liberty, Calvary. Bear my burden so found in liberty, Calvary.
Calvary. I'm Steve, and I wanted to share a little bit with Mike, a little bit of humor. We were really pretty close. I met Mike at a baptism years ago, and he was sitting at a picnic table, and I went up to shake his hand, and he liked to broke mine. I said, man, I let my guard down there, next time I met him, I decided that I'd give him a hug. It was a little safer, I hope, anyway. But Mike, he used to joke that he was a member of the Zipper Club. And that was after his open heart surgery and how scarred his chest was. And he was at church one week telling us he's getting open heart surgery. The next week, there he was. It's like, who does that? You know, Mike does that. He was really strong. He's a tough guy and he had a very, very gentle heart. And he's very caring. And he always wanted to serve. He served the Lord by serving us. And we both had COVID together. It's about 15 months ago. And you know, it's not about me, but I was really, really sick. And Mike was just as sick as I was. And I was pretty much bedridden. But the toughness of this guy, you know, him and Valerie, you drive 50 miles from your house to our house and back, delivering the medicine in prayer. And that was Mike. And he was so, it was such a wonderful blessing to know him. And we both lost our taste and smell to this day. But we joked all the time. And his big thing with taste was he couldn't taste, but he loved the lemon meringue pie. Yeah, he just said it all the time. It's like, man, I didn't have the heart to tell him, I don't really like lemon meringue pie, bro. But I didn't tell him because I didn't want him to shake my hand again. You know, that would hurt. But you know, it was such an encouraging thing that we had gone. And we'd always meet each other in the foyer. And we had a joke about smell. So he would come up to me and he'd go, hey, Steve. And I go, what? He'd go, you smell yet? I go, no, but my wife thinks I do. And we would laugh so hard all the time. And, you know, it was such a loving, loving relationship. As you know, he's my little brother, and it's just amazing how the Lord worked in his life and how he brought that to all of us. And we just wanted to, he just had to fellowship with him. You know, we had to just love him, and we, you know, thank him for his heart. You know, he had a heart for the Lord, and he, you know, it's a true loving brother and a true friend. And I'm gonna miss him for a little while. We'll see him again. Amen. You know, he's absent from the body, but he's present with the Lord. Amen. And that's where Jesus is. He's in heaven. He went to prepare a place for us. And that's where he is right now. And that's where Mike's at. You know, and we get to go there too. Amen. All for all true believers. And so, I just wanted to share that with you. As we sing this song, we're hoping we can get through it. Mike liked the harmonica. I'm not going to play it like I used to. But this fits Mike. This song really fits him. And we just, let's just sing it together and give the Lord all the praise. That's what Mike would want.
To heaven. to heaven is shouting, love for the Father and the Son. Go to heaven is shouting, love for the Father and the Son.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful songs. Winston, I'm going to read your letter. Mike Walsh, you are missed, my brother, but not forever. We will be reunited with you in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and our High Priest. Mike loved much because he knew that he was forgiven much. The past had no hold on Mike. He always looked forward to the finish line, which he finally crossed over to be with his Redeemer and King. He would want all of you to be where he is in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His family was so precious to him. His wife Valerie, his daughter Nicole, and Valerie's children too. He would want you all to know some history of our Bible. It was written on three different continents and three different languages. It was written over a period of 1,500 years in 66 different books and letters. This holy document was written by fishermen, shepherds, kings, a doctor, prophets, priests, a tax collector, and a tent maker too. Something I heard was this, that God's holy word is like an anvil that has destroyed any hammer ever used against it. I know that these bodies of ours are going to die someday, some of us sooner than others. Our soul and spirit are eternal, and there is only one of two places for us at the end of this race, and that is heaven or hell. While we were yet sinners, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for our sins. He lived a sinless life and offered it up on the cross, that if we believed and trusted in Him, we would be forgiven and be with Him in His heaven someday. The cross was God's plan for our redemption before the world began. Mike's great hope was for all of us to be gathered together unto our great shepherd in heaven. May our Lord and great shepherd, Jesus Christ, be glorified in this gathering today. We miss you, Mike. We miss you, brother. Thanks, Winston. I got through. Keith, would you run the mic around for me? Thank you. So I'd like to take some time out now. If anybody has anything they want to talk about, Mike. Any words, any thoughts, any memories, anything at all to honor Mike and his life, please feel free. And like I said, I hope you all packed a lunch.
So I've been able to mentally narrow it down to just four things to share about Mike. We were good friends back before he reconnected with you, Valerie, and I just remember when he realized he had that opportunity, how excited, how, that's not even the right word, it was all he could talk about every time we got together, was this woman named Valerie, and I don't know if I can make it work, am I good enough for her, and just doted on you, even before he got that chance to go down and reconnect, and that's such a precious memory to me. One of the other memories, one of the things we share, is the pain that we both have. I endure a lot of pain myself, and that immediacy of prayer. If I said anything about it, he was, hands on me. We were praying. So I was able to be the recipient of a lot of that prayer and got to also pray with Mike. And we shared another thing. We loved the movie Tombstone. And once I knew that, I asked him once, it's a line from the movie, Doc, how are ya? And he would always respond, Wyatt, I am, and in the New Orleans accent, Wyatt, I am rolling, because he was, Doc was winning a lot of money in the scene. So you have to understand the context. And he sure is rolling in the streets of gold right now. And the final thing, nobody said it yet, so I'll be the first to say it. Mike did complain up here about one thing. You guys know what it is. Sunshine, the rain here, yes. He missed the sun, and he wanted to be with the sun. And I think now, did we have that wrong? Was he really just missing the sun, and now he's resting with the sun, and what a precious thing that is. So I just wanted to share those thoughts.
That hand that almost broke Steve's hand, if you shook hands with him, your hand disappeared. And you just wondered how a big hand with stubby fingers could do that detailed work. It was Steve as a journeyman. And whatever he did.
Mike and I were pretty good friends. Very good. Now, he got me into this auction thing. And we had a ball, but we had some hard ground to cover when we first started out. It's all bidding online on the computer and sealed bids, all that kind of thing there. And you have just right up to the very end to hit the button to lock in your price. And the first time I did this... He did it. Found out we were bidding against each other. Prices kept going up, and I thought, man, I'd really like to have this. And I had no idea Mike was bidding on it. I didn't recognize the handle on it there. And I got the price up there, and he finally won it. And it was his. And I thought, oh, man. Then when I saw the name come up, I called him and says, hey, we were bidding against each other. I said, give me a break here. You're trying to get me into this, and then it's just costly. Well, we did lots of other things like that. We got our story straight before, okay, I'm going to bid on this, 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 and this, and what do you want to bid on this, 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 and this? And the one thing we had in common is we bid on tools. We bought tons and tons of tools. I have a thing for it. Mike did, amazing brother, tell you the truth. If you asked him something, you better expect the truth, whether you something you want to hear or not. But I have a Lord put on my heart here in the mornings to Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24. I'm gonna read it because I'm gonna blow up here again. Anyway. Search me, O God, and know my heart. This is Mike. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to read that every single morning and remember Mike. God, love him. Thanks.
Mike and I had a very unique experience, and Pastor Kevin is going to identify with this. But first of all, I have to tell you that our family and Mike, we are a dachshund family. We love dachshunds. That was one thing we really shared together. But the thing I was going to tell you most was about 7 years ago, our church decided that we were going to send a group of people to do the backpack through Hong Kong into China with the backpacks and suitcases and the whole bit. Well, there were a whole bunch of us who wanted to go, and all the women wanted to go, but it wound up, I was the only one who wound up going with, and there were five of us, and Mike was one of them. So, we had quite a trip. So anyway, as we were doing our trips, we realized that Steve, the man who organized all the trips, he came up to me one time and he said, Shirley, come on, I want you to come across with me. As you come across into China, they have you have to go through customs, and there's one line after another. People are all queued up. But at the end, there's a line for people 65 and over. They let you take somebody through with you. well, I was 80 at the time, so so we caught on that we could get people through quicker if I took one person with me. So this one trip, Mike and I went through together. It was very interesting. You know, you get up there and you give the guy your passport, and we're kind of looking, you know, like he's kind of helping me. That's the object of the whole thing. And we get through, and we stop on the other side, and you put your passports and all your paperwork, and trying to look very casual because these guards are watching you. Boy, are they watching you, right? They are there. So anyway, get packed, you know, get our stuff all put together, and the two of us start out together. I'm on Mike's right side, and we're holding hands, like, you know, he's kind of helping me. So we go, and here's this guard watching. And I could not believe it. He started walking towards us. I thought, oh, no, he's going to get us both. He reached across past me and tapped Mike on the shoulder. I tell you, I let go of Mike's hand so fast and kept right on walking. And he got Mike. Mike, you know, Kevin will tell you what they do. They take you in the back, and you have to open up your backpack, and they take all your money, right? Everything. So anyway, I still have one more guy up in the front, and he's watching me. I figure, well, this one's going to get me because, you know, I just got away lucky the last time, and he would let me pass right on through. But Mike got caught. It was always our big kind of thing. Yeah, you got it, and I didn't. So. Well, they take you in, oh, Kevin will tell you. Yeah, it happened. They take you into another room and they check all your paperwork and they want to see what you have in your backpacks and your suitcases. Cause, you know, they don't want you taking Bibles in there. So anyway, that was our quite an experience for the two of us. But then what happened was that trip, we were able to go to Beijing. There was this little side trip, sort of. So we flew to Beijing, and we were there about 5 days, going to the Great Wall and all those things. But the van we had a special driver and a guide. And the guide spoke English, but the driver didn't. Well, you know how vans are. The second seat is a little half seat, like for two people, because the door is there. Well, Mike and I sat next to each other all the way on the trip. So we had a really interesting experience together. We often laughed about that. I got through and he did. Actually, they called the church that day. Not anybody got through. I was the only one who got through. Everybody got caught, and they emailed the church and said, be praying, because every single person got caught. I don't know why. I guess I look so old, they just let me go. But that was my experience with Mike. We really shared a unique thing.
I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself. Many of you, I have not had the honor and the pleasure of meeting or getting to know. But Mike spoke very highly of this church and its people. Mike's mother and my mother were sisters. I'm Mike's cousin. And one thing that was mentioned earlier is when Mike hugged you, you knew it. I remember being hugged by Mike many times, and it was like, oh, I love you too, but that hurt. He definitely had a grip on you when he hugged you. Another thing I remember very dearly about my cousin is his voicemails. Whenever you called Mike and you got his voicemail, it wasn't something like, hi, this is Mike. I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave a message, I will return your call as soon as possible. No, with Mike, you got a full-on sermon. And so many times I thought to myself, do I have to listen to this sermon again? I know Jesus, cousin. I just want to leave you a voicemail, okay? But that's one of the things I loved about him. Another thing I wanted to share was his integrity and his honesty. He spoke highly to me. I remember one time him and I were doing a job, and he said, you know, I think the employer overpaid us too much. I think he gave us too much money in our paychecks. So immediately he picks up the phone, he contacts the employer, and sure enough, the employer overpaid us. Now, many men would have just let that go. Like, wow, the employer overpaid us. I got some money here that isn't rightfully due me, not Mike. And that's another thing I really appreciated about him. I also wanted to take just a few moments to personally thank Pastor Kevin of this church, just for your prayers and your support and your encouragement and your love and your dedication and your commitment to my cousin all these years. I remember he spoke very highly of you, and he told me that he would take a bullet for you if he had to. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. So thank you for standing by his side. I'll always treasure that relationship that the two of you had. And before I go to, I just wanted to personally thank you, Valerie, for your love and your dedication and your commitment and your support and your prayers and your faithfulness to my cousin, standing by his side for so many years, you know, doing a lot of times things behind the scenes that nobody even knew about or even recognized. You'll always be a part of the family, and I thank you very much for doing that. And thank you all again for just your love and your support and your prayers and for the example that you set for him and that he set for you. Thank you.
Everyone in heaven is perfect because they've been perfected. But how many Christians go to heaven perfect? And arguably the answer is one, because our Lord Jesus was fully human. But none of us, right? We're all flawed, and we're being perfected. And there was a question that Mike asked me, and he wanted an answer to it, and I didn't give it to him. We were making this rock wall. My wife and I had put it up 2 years ago, and it promptly fell. And Mike Walsh and I studied. We learned how to do wallpaper, because Mike could do anything, even if he'd never done it before. But just a few months ago, we put this rock wallpaper up. And so I had the opportunity to spend an entire day with him. And he did most of the talking. I do a lot of the listening. In most situations. But anyway, he was perplexed about discussing giving your life to Jesus with family members, and there was a reluctance. A reluctance because they felt that there was a need to be perfect to give your life to the Lord Jesus. And he looked at me and he says, "They know me. You know me. I'm not that guy." And he wanted an answer, and I didn't give it to him, you know, partially because we're trying to get this done, and it was quite complicated, believe it or not. But I wish I had, because I had an answer. And I'm gonna relay that. Mike didn't need words. He wasn't short on words, so I don't know if this would have helped him, you know, with his thoughts, but, in the early 2000s, I was a single father of two, and I liked beer. I drank beer every day. And I didn't want to drink beer every day. And so I had this ritual, and I'm telling you, I did this tens of times, maybe not hundreds, but I lived about 2 miles away from Fred Meyer, and I would get in my car, and I would take off for Fred Meyer. And on my way to Fred Meyer, I would talk myself out of buying beer that night, and I would turn around. And I'd drive back towards my house, and I would convince myself that there's no way I'm making it through the night without a six-pack. And I'd turn around, and I'd drive back to Fred Meyer. And I'd do this 6 times, and guess which one out would be going to Fred Meyer and buying that beer and going home, right? That's man's attempt at being perfect, and we fail. In December of 2010, I stepped off of a cruise ship in Puerto Vallarta after drinking every night on that cruise ship. And I knew as I walked off that pier, I was never going to have another drink in my life. And I can't tell you how I knew that, but I knew it. And that was 12 years ago. I haven't touched alcohol. But the important thing is, I don't want it. I didn't want it. I never wanted it again. That's the Lord's perfecting of us, right? And so when Mike turned to me and said, you know, I'm not that guy. Why do they think I'm perfect, right? We never have to give anything up. The Lord takes it from us. And the desire goes away. We become perfected in Him, not trying to perfect ourselves. And I really wish I would have said that to him, but I didn't. And I don't have the chance now. Right?
So. Well, and now when you tell him, next time you see him, it ain't going to matter anyway.
It ain't going to matter anyway. Because he is perfect now.
And Lord, so will you.
And I'll be perfect too. Yeah, the Lord has perfected me. Anyway, thank you.
My name is Rena Pricer. I first became acquainted with Mike when we were over in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. John played the violin in the worship team, and I usually sat at the back seat and all by myself. And nearly every Wednesday night, Mike would bring me a milkshake. And so we got acquainted. I know when his mother died, I told him I had adopted him as my son. I had two daughters, but no sons. And so he became my adopted son. And he really liked my poem about his dachshund. In fact, I already had his birthday card coming up in August 5th that has a picture of a dachshund on it. And the poem goes like this. There was a little dachshund once. So long he had no notion how long it took to notify his tail of his emotion. And thus it was that though his eyes were filled with woe and sadness, his little tail kept wagging on because of previous gladness. So Mike liked that song, and I had that birthday card I was going to send to him in August.
When you talk about feeding your dachshund, he mixed up food. He chopped this, he chopped that, had chicken and all kinds of vegetable stuff. I told him, fill me a doggy bag. I'd take it home with me. But his dog ate better than I did.
I've been sitting over here trying to figure out which verses, which things, which thoughts. It's about... Mike and I walked through the doors of Calvary about the same time, actually. So, Isaiah 6 pops to mind. When Isaiah saw the Lord, his response was, woe is me. An unclean man of unclean people fell before the Lord. And an angel came to him and brought a hot coal and told him, your sins have been forgiven. And Isaiah's response was the rest of Isaiah. That was Mike. Mike met the Lord, and the rest of Mike's response was Mike. The parable of the sower comes to mind. And most of us read the parable of the sower, and we think, which seed are we? Which, of course, Mike thought that, but he immediately said, I'll be a sower too. And he just threw seed. Second Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for the king. He took that very seriously. Hebrews, enter boldly into the throne room of the God. And to speak to Dan's, one that's always stood out to me is Psalm 145, that the Lord satisfies the desires of all things. We're all here because we knew Mike in one way or the other, and I'm quite sure he impacted us one way or another, obviously. Those of us that are men, we probably shook his hand at one point in time, and yes, that stood out to us. Most of us were probably a little envious and wished we had a handshake like that. You remember those guys when you meet them. That that handshake was an impact, right? Don't think for one second at all that Mike should have lived 1 minute longer or went 1 minute earlier. That's not in Mike's control, and it's not in any of our control either. By all apparent evidence, Mike didn't know his time was going to come at about noontime 2 weeks ago. How does Mike's life impact you? God knew the moment he was going to go home, and it was perfect. So how does it impact you? How does it impact each one of us? Does it encourage us as Christians? We've had a whole lot of talk about the way Mike went and shared and dropped seed all over the place. Some of us maybe have regrets of things that maybe we wish we would have said or this or that. But again, don't regret anything. The Lord's timing is perfect. Learn and grow from that. Mike is not sitting at home right now mourning, wishing you had a chance to tell him whatever it is you wanted to tell him, or that this or that would have been done. If anything, maybe for a moment before the Lord wipes his tears away, he has remembrance of things maybe he said or did, maybe he regretted. But the Lord wipes that away. So, I would just encourage all of us to take the impact of Mike's life and the perfect timing of him going home and seek the Lord about what we do with that.
Sorry, I'm not good at this. First thing I would say is I can't believe Mike didn't key up on the lights not being like parallel to each other. I mean, that one's definitely off right there. If he was here, he'd get a ladder and he'd be up there. Okay. All right. Perfect. Good. you know, speak to Mike, being a pretty fearless person. His barn that had been falling down for years and years, and he kept propping it up and propping it up and propping it up. And then one time the opportunity came to get a machine out there to take it down, and so I came out to help him. And I show up, and he's on the leeward side, the downhill side of it, with the chainsaw, cutting the posts that were basically the only thing holding that thing up. It's like, what are you doing, Mike? You're scaring the crap out of me. So, anyways, he cut the posts, and it held together miraculously and didn't crush him. And we dropped it down on the ground, and then next thing you know, he's on the roof, and this is, you know, it's about this time of year, and there's just bees and hornets just flying everywhere, and he's on top of this roof walking. They're just, I mean, I'm scared to death of bees, and they're just flying around, and he just doesn't care, you know. It's like, well, yeah. But if it was me, I'd be grabbing my hat, you know, just flying at him. Mike was a really good friend of mine, and I'll miss him dearly.
I didn't know Mike terribly well, but with the exposure that I had to him as a new believer, young believer, and even these last few years, it's he's very encouraging. With just, you know, in being in his presence, hearing him talking about prayer, it was constantly encouraging to me. And that day when that happened to him, I was one of the first ones there. And, you know, we were all there for a long time. And then we finally left church. And just, you know, usually one of those people that keep my mind right, keep my head right, you know, and I'm driving back from it to my home, and then a song comes on. It's an old song from a group called Phillips, Craig and Dean, From the Inside Out. And I was, you know, thinking about everything that happened, and then I just kind of chime out of my thoughts and into this song, and I heard it say, "My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out." And I just said to myself, "That's Mike. There he is. That's Mike right there." And that's just a testimony to him and his walk. And just the exposure, you know, of the small conversations that me and him had. And he was a blessing. He was a blessing for sure to me, and I know to everyone else.
So my name is John, and I came to know Mike from Triton Marine, first being introduced by Glenn Collins, who hired him and took him to a job in Philadelphia. That was over 15 years ago. Glenn, do you remember exactly when that was? Yeah, over 15 years ago. After that, and up until a couple of years ago, Mike worked nearly continuously for Triton Marine, gladly traveling wherever there was need. In his last several years of employment with Triton, he was our man in the shop, where he did fabrication work, maintained equipment, and did whatever was needed to support our job. He loved to build stuff and fix things, and he was very good at it. He became a guy for all of us. Mike worked hard most of the time, pain from his injuries earlier in life. But he never complained, and he always put in an honest day's work. All of us at Triton mourn the loss of our beloved co-worker, Mike. But for me, Mike was not only a co-worker. I had a personal relationship with him. He became my go-to guy for countless house and hangar projects, and I could always count on Mike to help when Andrea's honeydew list got too long for me to handle, which was most of the time. Over the many years of Mike's four hire projects for the Archer family, he came to know all of us quite well. Me, Andrea, our son Nicholas, the dog, Big Mike, the cat, my sister, our friends, and especially my mother, who lived with us the last year of her life. Mike took a special liking to her and showed her great kindness and compassion, and I will never forget that. The Archers found many opportunities to socialize and fellowship with Mike, and then with his beautiful wife, Valerie, when she came into his life. Those times together, the experiences and conversation were very meaningful for us, and we will treasure the memories. Just before Mike died, he was starting another Build It project for me. We had been discussing it for months while waiting on permits. As we got closer to starting work, I could tell Mike was stressed. He was gathering up materials, and we were scheming on how to solve a couple of tricky parts of the work. I would tell him there's no hurry, but he was eager and keen to get started. And typical of Mike, I never saw any laziness in him. He was focused, purpose-driven, and he worked hard right up to the end. I have many wonderful memories of Mike, two in particular that I'd like to share. One is a Thanksgiving dinner that Mike and Valerie hosted a couple of years ago. They were still at the Lavender Farm property, and they had a big, long table set up that started in the kitchen and went nearly to the end of the living room. There were 20 or 30 guests. I'm sure many of those guests are here today. What I remember particularly is that Mike not only blessed the gathering, but he acknowledged every single one of us at the table, calling us out by name, expressing his gratitude to us for being in his life, and telling us why we were meaningful to him and showing us in his joy. The other memory is a conversation Mike and I had recently It's kind of a little thing, but has become so meaningful now that Mike has died. I owed Mike money for a few things he had done for me recently. When I would bring this up, he would tell me, "Don't worry about it." Well, I do worry about things like that, and I wanted to square up. So I figured up an amount, and I asked Mike if that sounded right. And he said, "John, you don't have to pay me for everything I do. I'm your friend." I knew we were friends, but the way he said it, "I'm your friend," I knew he meant it. That was the last time I talked to Mike. What an incredible memory that is and always will be for me.
I've had the privilege of being a greeter at this church for a long time, and with security things. And a lot of people don't know this, but there's kind of like a background thing where Mike was one of the ones that's a protector of the flock. If someone came through the doors that we didn't recognize, that might not have been totally a trustworthy source, Mike was always right there in the lobby. All I did was make a little comment to Mike, and he was overseeing the flock in case there was any trouble. Of course, in today's world, you read all these crazy things, but Mike was looking after each and every one of you. Second thing was there was a men's retreat quite a long time ago, and Mike got up and gave his testimony. And there are also many other men in this congregation that have the same previous background that I was encouraged by our pastor, Kevin. One time I wanted to learn to share the gospel with anybody. And he said, "Join me in the prison ministry." And so I went, I would go with Kevin and other people, we go into the jails and we talk to guys that a lot of people just forget. You know, they think they're behind bars, but you know what? They're people that Jesus loved. And now they're probably either sober or off drugs, and they might hear the gospel message. And it was always an encouragement. Some of those guys would come to church here and we'd recognize them. But it was always someone that I could take, pass to Mike, because he's walked the walk, that he would be able to relate with him. And it just makes you feel humble knowing that he would always share the gospel. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, if you take a friend and you want a certain message to be, the gospel to be shared, if you took them to Mike, they're going to hear the gospel. That's such a blessing. Thank you.
So, yeah, we've known Mike for a long time, but I started coming to this church before my husband did, and Mike was always asking about my husband and praying for him before he even started coming. And then when Glenn did start coming, Mike was always there telling me, "I'm praying for him, I'm praying for him." And then soon after Glenn gave his life to the Lord, when Mike and all of us were in Israel, Glenn and Mike struck up a friendship right away. And we went out to dinner with he and Dorothy at this little spot in the road somewhere down from where they lived. I don't even remember the name of the community. Little steakhouse down there. They started talking, and Mike was working at a cabinet shop, hardly making any money. And Glenn knew that he had skills, and he said, "You know, I might could find a place for you on my job." And Mike was all excited all over that. And that was the beginning of a really long and great friendship. And I know he's in a better place, and I know that he's sorry for us because we're not there with him yet, but the loss still hurts, and we'll miss him. We'll really miss him.
I've had the privilege of getting to know Mike September of 2020 when my wife and I started attending this church. And I got asked early on to meet with a bunch of guys on Tuesday morning for breakfast. And that's where I really got to know Mike a lot, at that breakfast. And Mike and I shared a love for Jesus like everyone here. And we talked about going to heaven as soon as, like, we couldn't believe that we're still here. And Mike would always make the comment about that his neck would be sore because he kept looking up. And I said, Mike, we have to keep looking up because Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And he knew that. But he was like, he's not coming back soon enough. He wanted him to come back today. And, we're all going to miss Mike. But Mike's in a better place. He's where we want to be. He would always say, there's one thing, Dan, I don't want to do, though, is get caught in the door. And I was like, what do you mean caught in the door? He said, I don't want to be half here and half there. I said, yeah, you know, we didn't fear death. We knew where we were going. But the fear of how we're going to get there and if we're stuck, as he would always say, stuck in the door. But Mike did teach me a lot about having a much deeper love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like you've heard so many testimonies, it's so true. Mike, he was so bold. He did not care what you thought of him. He just cared that you knew about Jesus and you'd be in heaven. Because there is a heaven and a hell. It's true. It's not a game. And Mike didn't want anybody to go to hell. And he just really emphasized that to me. So I think we have to continue the race as Mike's done with the race. And soon enough, we're going to be in heaven too. So God bless Mike. Yeah, well, this men's breakfast that we get together every Tuesday, when I first started with the group, we were meeting at Uncle Dave's, and then we moved there to another cafe across from the Bethel Tavern, and then we finally ended up, when COVID shut everything down, we were able to get into that one place. So we've been meeting there for quite some time. And this particular waitress that served us, her name was Mimi, and she was going to be here today, and fortunately she wasn't, but keep praying for her. She's not saved. Mike wanted her to get, he wants her to get saved, and he would always say something to her, but I think it was Winston that went in the night before or something, and this was right after that he had passed away, and had made a comment to this waitress. That was Monday, so the Tuesday morning when the guys got together for the breakfast, the table was all set up, but the chair where Mike sat, they had it propped up, and she had a bouquet of flowers and some stuff there for in honor of Mike. So we just keep praying, keep Mimi in your prayers, because I know Mike would want her to get saved.
Several years ago, I mean, while we were still meeting in the upper building at Seventh Day, there I had some friends coming to visit at the church, you know, for the service there. They figured anywhere I was going was probably suspect, I guess. Anyway, so the first person that I wanted them to meet was Mike. That was before Valerie. And, in fact, he was the first person that I introduced him to. You know, the word comes to mind for Mike, to me, is sincere. I mean, sincere is a Greek word that means without wax. And apparently it was the practice of the potters in the early days to cover up small cracks and imperfections with wax. That was not Mike. I mean, Mike was a sincere person, and whatever flaws he had, he didn't try to cover up and hide like so many of the rest of us. I mean, Mike was always sincere, and he was a measuring stick for me that just being around, I could measure my own progression against this.
Hi, I'm John Bronson. I started attending the church back in 2009. That's when I first met Mike. And it goes along with a story there that Mike at the time there was single. And my wife and I used to tease him about it being single. Oh, I got a solution for that. There's no problem. So anyhow, he kind of disappeared one Sunday. Couldn't figure out where he went. So you come back next Sunday. I said, well, Mike, we missed you there last Sunday. He says, oh, I was down in California. I said, oh? I said, you was visiting your daughter in California? No, I wasn't visiting my daughter. I said, well, whatever. You was doing, I hope you God was with you. So found out later he was going down and visiting Valerie in California. And he come across there, and I said, we started talking back and forth. And I said, Mike, when are we going to be able to meet Valerie? And he says, well, I'm trying to get her to come up here to the church. And I said, well, we sure like to meet Valerie. It hadn't passed by there about another 2, maybe 3 weeks. All of a sudden, Valerie shows up on the scene there at the church here. And I said, well, this is why she was going down to California, and we welcomed Valerie there to the church here. We used to go out at her church there on Sundays there and have dander, I guess, is what everyone called it. But it's a good fellowship for everybody. So, Valerie, may God be with you and bless you. I thank you for being my friend.
Yeah, I have some dirt on Mike. I caught him taking candy from the youth barn down there. I only caught him because when I was in there, he was bringing 2 bags full of candy to fill back up the bucket. And he said, you know, I have a sweet tooth, and I caught him, so it was a good time. But I think it was the beginning of June. You all, Mike's a hard worker. You guys know that. A great, godly man. But I come back, and I saw Val sitting in the shade there. And she was talking to somebody, and I kind of walk around the corner. And there's a ladder. And, of course, I look up the ladder. And there's Mike standing up on top of this ladder. You know, you shouldn't be on the top rung. He's up there in flip-flops. He's trying to rig this thing. And I was like, Mike, what are you doing? Get off of that ladder. You know, and I was like, get down. And, you know, I had to yell on a bit and helped him out. But that was Mike. And what a blessing. And like you said, an example of a godly man for all of us. So.
Hi, I'm Vicki, and I'm a neighbor of Mike's when he was on the Lavender Farm. I attended church there and got to know him before Valerie. And Pastor Bill was the pastor at the time, a good friend of Mike's, who passed away too early from cancer. And so then our little group moved to a home where we worship. But Mike was always talking about you guys, wanting me to get here. And like you said, if there's anything I wish I'd have done, I wish I'd have come before so he could see I came to see how wonderful you all are. And I still worship in a small home, but I'll definitely visit you guys.
I'll be a closer if I can do this. I have a confession to make. That was that recently he stole the candy? Because I think I taught him. Because when I go into the youth barn, I actually confessed it the other day to the office staff. It was Honor or Louise. When I go into the youth barn, it's like I get a candy bar, a little candy bar for the thing. But unlike Mike, I've never replenished it, and so, okay, we're all supposed to take something away from my. From now on, Lord, I promise to replenish. Promise to replenish the candy. But 2 quick ones. We all went to, as Charlotte brought up, we went to Israel together,
And we have a big mural picture up above our refrigerator in the office. And he came in, and when we put it up there when we moved, he sits there and he goes, "Yeah, you know, did you notice anything in there, in that picture?" I said, "No." He goes, "I'm not there." He was there, but he wasn't there. The photographer didn't get him in the picture. And it's a really nice picture. And so then I felt so bad about that I, one day, you know, a few days later, I just said, "Hey, Mike, I don't have a picture of you. Can I just take a picture?" And took a picture. And then I cut and pasted and put Mike right where he was. He was standing off to the side. And, "Hey, Mike, you notice anything about the picture?" So that was good. And then finally, we all know that the Lord took him with a heart attack, but it was his second heart attack. The first one, third, was it third? Oh, okay. Well, the one that was just before his four-way bypass or five-way bypass, Valerie was down in California, and Juanita was somewhere. I mean, it was just, you know, I'm here, and he called me up, and he said, "Hey, Kevin, you do anything?" I said, "No. I mean, what you need?" And he goes, "Well, I think I'm having a heart attack." I said, "Really, Mike? I mean, he's not like, Kevin, you gotta come quick." And so then I go, "Yeah, I'll be over there right away." So I mean, I just stopped what I was doing and I went over to his house, picked him up, and we're just talking. Because he's not acting like he's having a heart attack. And we go down to St. Joe's and go into the emergency room. And that's, you can imagine this emergency room, St. Joe's and everything. And so I go up and I say, "My friend says he's got a heart attack." "Okay, moved him up to the front." And he's just totally calm and everything else. I go, "They're not going to believe him." I mean, you know, because he's just so tough. And I go, "I need to tell him. I think he really means it, but I know he doesn't act like it." And so then they took a blood sample and they went in there and he told the lady, he told me, "Watch this. And they're not going to stick me. They're not going to be able to stick me." And because he's a bad stick from his drug life. He trashed all his veins. And he knew that. They didn't know that. And so then they came in to take blood. And he goes, "I'm not a good stick. You might have to go down to my feet and stuff." And she, "Oh, no, we're the best. We're the best." And so after jab, 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 jab. And they finally took a sample. And they go, "You really are having a heart attack." And yeah. And then got him into, you know, get him some nitro and other stuff, and then had his four-way bypass. But there again, he wanted to just share with the people there, "Yes, I had a past, and yes, I, you know, God has saved me and stuff," and just witnessing and just always really a blessing. That was his life.
All right. If the worship team wants to come up, we're going to sing one last song. Feel free to stand when you worship. Just one real quick thing that I want to say is Mike and I, we had a special relationship in the sense that we both have very similar lives. We both, lots of drugs when we were younger. Mike spent a lot of time in prison. I spent a lot of time in prison as well. And so he was my buddy that way here at the church. We both had similar lives, so we could talk with each other that way. We could talk with each other in a way that you just really can't talk with other people that have never been to prison and done a lot of drugs in their life, you know. And so, you know, now I'm the only one, as far as I know. And I just want to say, I'm going to call you out, Dan Presba. Dan Presba, gentleman that stood up here, you know, he's a former Washington State Patrol police officer, okay? We come from very, very different backgrounds. Dan walked a very different life than Mike and I. But here we are, serving the same Lord, serving the same Jesus. And so, let's stand while we worship this song.
The song's called "Our Sweet Home Is in Heaven." That's where Mike is. He's seeing Jesus face to face. It's an upbeat, pretty much a hand clapping song. I'd like everybody to find the rhythm of it and clap and sing with us and rejoice, because that's where Mike is. He's in heaven. Amen. Thank you.
see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, mocked and scorned, wounded, nailed to a cross. Allowed Himself to die for our sin. And through God's power, He has risen Him again. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Now our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit is our living proof. He opens up our eyes that we may see. Jesus Christ has set us all free. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Amazing grace. When our life on earth is over, when we meet the Lord above, we'll see Him in all His glory. We'll be blessed by God's mighty love. Come on. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Well, our sweet home is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise Jesus. The first two verses that I said when I stepped up here was, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. If you don't know Jesus and you're sitting here today, please call out to Him. Seek Him while He may be found and call on Him while He is near. On behalf of Valerie and Nicole and Valerie's children and this fellowship, we want to thank you so much for coming out and honoring Mike, honoring Jesus through Mike. And otherwise, love you guys so much, and thanks for coming. Amen.